Good morning. I am confident that there are several of you who love cooler weather. You are happy this morning. We've had a little bit cooler weather, and you are grateful. I am confident. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for what the day will bring. There are many, many things that we have available to us this day, and we have important choices to make every day. This morning, as I talk with you, I want you to think about you. That's always the purpose of preaching and teaching, is for us to think about ourselves as we look at life, as we look at what God would have life to be. We need to be thinking about ourselves. If I got up and I preached a sermon to the church, and I said, okay, church, you need to grow your faith, there would be people that would not be paying attention. There would be people that think, yeah, I know Roy Sharp, and he needs to improve his faith. And we'd be talking about a number of things that we would feel like this is just something generic. This is not to me. Sometimes things must be personal if it makes any difference. Over the years that Jan and I have been married, we've talked about dieting. And every time we talked about it, up until a certain point, I didn't have any need to diet. I played all the time. I was in great physical shape. I weighed what I wanted to weigh. And then one day, I stepped on the scales, and I weighed 210 pounds. I'm not quite 5'10", and so I was a tad overweight. I was either overweight or under tall. If I'd have been about 6'3", I would have been great, I think. But I was a little bit overweight. So I started telling Jan for the first time, I am ready to go on a diet. Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? I do not want you to do this, but if I ask everybody that is in this room that's been on a diet and you didn't lose any weight at all on the diet you went on, there would be several people that would raise their hands, I'm pretty confident. Because I've known people who've gone on diets, and they're at several years ago at a place I preached there, every year on New Year's Eve, they would say, they would have some guys on a Wednesday night, closest to New Year's Day, tell about what they wanted to do, here plans. This elder got up and said, I'm going to lose weight this year. Next year he got up and he said, I'm going to lose weight. Next year he got up and said, I'm going to lose weight. I don't know how many years that went on, but he finally got up and he said, I am not planning to lose any weight this year. So he met his goal. I am confident that he did not lose any weight that year. But you see, he was being personal, but when you're personal, you have to pay a price if you want to succeed. This morning, I want to talk to you about growing your faith. Every one of us needs to grow our faith. There are people my age and older in this room. We face life, and it's not an easy job some days. I was sitting at the table this morning, and I read for about 45 minutes, and I started to get up, and I promise you, I limped for about 4 steps before I could finally get going. I thought my hips needed a grease job again. And so life is not as easy as it should be. And then there are some people sitting in this room who face difficult physical problems. Sometimes it's a disease. But life is hard to face. How do we deal with that? How does Roy Sharp deal with that? How do you, and put your name in there, how do you deal with that? We have a group of people in our audience today that have young children, some of the most beautiful children in the world. You have a lot going on, and things get tough and busy, and how do you face life? How do you do what God wants you to do? How do you respond to life? Wednesday night in a Bible class, this past Wednesday night, the question was raised, how do I get done what I need to get done? I see all that's going on, and I see a lot of people doing a lot of things, and I just don't know if I'm doing what I need to be doing or not. You see, we are talking personal faith. And as we think about our young people, They want to grow their faith. They want to trust in God, and they see life happening, and people are raising questions to our young people about why do these things happen. We have great people this week. Four close friends of mine have died. They're all good people. They're all good people. One, we've been talking about a great tragedy. Others, great tragedies in their own right because of illness that could not be gotten over. And we lose friends. We lose moms and dads. We lose husbands and wives. We lose grandparents. Why do those things happen? And how can I go about life feeling good about that? How can you young people go to school and feel good about the things that you see in life? How do I grow my faith? Well, Paul gives us some information in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he's not talking to a large group of people without specifically wanting people to hone in on their own lives. If I wanted to lose weight when I weighed 210 pounds, there were things that I'm going to have to do. There's some things I'm not going to get to do. I was preaching in a meeting while I was on that diet, and I started down this table. We had a meal after the morning worship. The very first thing, and I don't know why they put it there. I believe the devil put it there, actually. It was a big bowl of cream potatoes. Looked so good. And somebody had put a big glob of butter, and that butter was melted right in the middle of those potatoes. Sitting right next to that was a big bowl of good homemade gravy that I wanted to get that bowl of gravy and pour it into the bowl of cream potatoes. And then next to that were homemade rolls that looked so good. I wanted to get about six of those and just shove them down in that bowl of potatoes that I've already poured the other bowl of gravy in. And I just wanted to start eating right there. Gravy, potatoes, biscuits. And you see, none of those things was I supposed to be eating on that diet. Am I willing to pay the price to lose weight? You see, that's why we don't lose weight. That's why we don't grow our faith. It takes effort and it takes a price. So what does it take? I want to quickly just share some things. I was just listening to the reading again. After I've read and studied this week, I know there are many other things in this chapter that I need to work on. But here are some things I want to share with you this morning that if you want to grow your faith, if you want to get better at trusting God, what are you going to have to do every day? Well, I was looking on sermons.com this week, and I saw these statistics. 25% of churchgoers literally give nothing to the Lord when they go to church. There are some people that think all that churches want is their money. God doesn't want your money this morning. He wants you. If he's got you, he's got your money. The average church goer attends their church only 1.7 times a month. And if you're one of those and you're listening to me this morning, what you have to ask yourself, is that a good thing? Is that what I need? Is that what my family need? Is that what my friends need to see in me? Is that what I need to do? And then 80% of church goers, if they go regularly even, they may go to church every Sunday, but 80% of them are only nominally involved. That is, they go to church. They get out a hymnal or they look on the screen and they sing. And when we say, let's pray, they bow their head. And when we walk out the door, they may do some few things that show people they love the Lord and they're going to serve the Lord. But 80%, 8 out of 10, nominally serve the Lord. You see, I'm confident this group is better than that. But if you happen to know someone who fits this kind of statistical circumstance, maybe you want to think about growing your faith. Well, what is faith? You know, I was looking, honestly, looking for an illustration to use this morning, and I came upon the following illustration. This lady said, my husband, Ron, once taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations. Ron got them to play chess, restore furniture, repair electrical appliances. Most important, he taught them to believe in themselves. Young Bobby, a young man in the class apparently, soon proved how well he had learned that last lesson. One day he brought a broken toaster to be repaired, and he carried under his arm the toaster. Under the other arm, he carried a half a loaf of bread. Now that's faith. He believed he was going to be able to fix that toaster. He believed he was going to be able to eat that toast from that toaster, so he brought the bread. Some of you all may know this lady that turned that illustration in, and I honestly got it off the internet. Edna Butterfield turned that illustration in. But it gives us an idea of what faith is like. There's work to do to accomplish what we want. This young man wanted to eat a piece of toast, but in order to eat the piece of toast, he had to do some work. In order to demonstrate our faith in God, we are going to have to do some work. We're going to have to carry that spiritual toaster, if you will, under our arms to get the things done that we want done. Now, if you want to grow your faith personally, you must understand that it's going to be done gradually. Look at verse 10. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. The idea here comes from broken net that's mended. Remember when we see in the New Testament the stories of the disciples casting out nets, and we read about broken nets that are mended. If you have a net that is good size, but you have a small hole, that hole is going to grow unless you mend it. And not only is it going to grow unless you mend it, while you are letting it grow, more and more fish are going to get out of the net. So how do you go about mending the net of your faith, perfecting that which is lacking? I don't feel good about the Lord some days and decisions that are made. I don't feel good about my faith. I don't feel good about some things. You see, faith is constantly rising. We can be so strong one moment and then our knees buckle in the very next moment. How do we get better at that? It's a constant job. If you're thinking about growing your faith, young people, and you see grandmas and grandpas that have great faith, and you're saying, I would love to have faith like that, you're going to have to keep mending the net of your faith. If you don't, it's just going to grow, and you're going to lose your faith, and you're going to lose a lot of things that you really want and you really feel the need for as you live life. So we want to develop our faith, and it's a constant task, and it's going to be done gradually. Faith that's going to grow personally is going to need to be in contact with strong Christians. If you look at verse 2, Paul said, couldn't stand it any longer. I am going to send Timothy to you. If you look over in Philippians chapter 2, in this great chapter that I personally believe is the greatest chapter in the Bible on humility, Timothy is mentioned by Paul as he tells the Philippian brethren, there is none like-minded who cares for you. How about your friends? Do they really care about you? Do they care about your life, your relationship with God? Do they really care about your worship life? Do they care about how much time you spend with God as you read the Bible and as you talk to God in prayer? Do your friends really care? Do they really want you to be who you believe you need to be? If not, you need to be thinking about your friends. You need to be thinking about the purpose of relationships and the purpose of friendships. It's not for people to make you feel good about yourself when there's no need to feel good about yourself. Relationships ought to be helping us get through this world in a great way, in a right relationship with God, growing our faith every day, contributing to our faith every day so that we could be what God wants us to be. Paul's presence would help these people. He said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in you. Well, there are people in this room who helped me grow my faith. I like being around you. I need to be around you. There are friends of mine in this room that would take my life, and I would hand it over to some of them. I promise you I would. And if they received my life, they would do better with my life for me than I would do for myself. They treat me better than I treat myself. We need good people. If you're going to grow your faith, you better be thinking about the right kind of relationships. And that goes from the youngest person in this room that is listening to me and understands what I'm saying to the oldest person in this room that is listening to me and can understand me. If faith is going to grow, we are going to have to stand up and be stable in trials. This morning, I just happened to come across an article about the 1965 University of Tennessee football program, and I don't remember this, but Doug Dickey, if you're a Tennessee fan, many of you will remember Doug Dickey. He was a very successful football coach and then became an athletic director. Shortly after he was hired, he had three coaches that were killed in an automobile accident on the way to football practice. And one of the coaches that survived said, Doug Dickey was stable in all that he did during that tragedy. When you think about your life and things go wrong, things don't go well, and most of the things in our lives do not compare to that tragic accident where a Volkswagen was hit with three people in it by a train. What a tragedy, and the loss of three lives immediately. Somebody stands firm. What about your life when little things don't go well in your life? How do you respond? Do you get so frustrated and angry and your language becomes awful? Your behavior becomes awful? You become disrespectful to other people? How do we stand in trials? Paul says trials are going to be a part of our lives. He wrote to Timothy and said, if any man is a Christian, he's going to suffer. But look at verses 3 and 4. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions. Here's a group of people afflicted. I got to tell you, there are people in this room today who are afflicted by life's circumstances. But Paul is saying, if you are going to grow your faith, you are going to stand and not be shaken by the circumstance after circumstance that comes your way. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Life is going to come, and it's going to bring some difficult circumstances. Young folks, you've had it made so far in life, generally. But let me tell you this, and I tell my university students this very same thing. If you haven't had something really seriously bad to happen in your life, you better buckle your life seatbelt because it is coming. We're appointed to these things. It's not something that just happens to bad people out there or just somebody out there. It happens to Roy Sharp. It happens to you. And what am I going to do when it comes? In fact, Paul says, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just like it happened, and you know. You see, Paul told them what was going to happen, and guess what? It happened. But if you're going to grow your personal faith, you're going to face the tragedies that come your way, and they're coming. Some have been in our lives this week. You're going to face it with great stability. And then Paul says faith is going to resist temptation. When we start thinking about our problems, we are constantly tempted to do nothing. That's a major temptation. Probably in this group of people here, that temptation is probably as great as about any sin that you will face. I am just going to do nothing today. I won't read God's word. I won't pray today. We're not saying it that way. We just don't get it done. We are tempted every day that we refuse to live a godly life and produce in our lives things that we know we ought to be producing. We are falling to the temptation the devil wants us to fall to, just to be that nominal Christian that we looked at the beginning. Don't worry about you being involved. We've got elders. We've got a ton of deacons. And there are some other good people in our congregation as well. They will take care of it. It's a great temptation for you university students to do very little, because you're at a stage in life where you're trying to grow yourself as a student. You're trying to get ready for a job out there somewhere. And when you get out there, like you see these older folks, then I'll do something. You see, the temptation that you're falling to is what the devil wants you to get into, because you see, we have a hard time being motivated, and that temptation is great. But we're going to face other kinds of temptation. There are real circumstances out there where we're going to be tempted to do that which is evil. The devil has a lot of friends, and the devil's friends is not wanting you to be holy. The devil's friends wanting you to be evil. And your faith is going to be put to the test. In fact, your faith is put to the test every day. If you're going to grow your own faith, you're going to have to face temptations, and you're going to have to face life circumstances, and you are going to have to stand tall. And all along, faith is going to develop qualities of excellence. Trying to be like the Christ, trying to be like God teaches us to be. We are going to have to grow those things. Timothy came to Paul after he had visited these people, and he had great news. Let me tell you about this church, these individuals who are demonstrating faith every day. They are actively loving each other and doing things that express faith and doing things that express love. Paul says in verses 12 and 13, "And may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." Why? "So that we may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." You see, the Lord's going to come again. Everything you do to develop your faith is in preparation for the Lord to come again. Growing your faith. What do you need to do? Do you need to make a commitment this morning to hold to God's unchanging hand and never turn loose? Oh, your faith may waver some. You may not be as strong some days as you are others, but are you ready to make a commitment today? You will never turn loose of God's unchanging hand. If there's anybody in this room that needs to make a change, and it needs to be public, our next song is to encourage you. Our next song, we're going to be pleading with you to hold on to God's unchanging hand all of your life. And for those who are faithful in this room, we're going to be pleading with each other to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. My prayer is always that if there's somebody in this room that needs to be born into the family of God by repenting of your sins and confessing his great name and being buried with him in baptism, that you will do that, and from that point forward grow your faith. That's our goal. It's our hope. That's our prayer. That's the Lord's invitation as we stand and as we sing.